You enjoying the service so far? Are you glad to be here? Amen. I forgot to move this pulpit. I know it's just a pulpit, but I like the other one. And when I stand behind this one, I hang on it. And I hate hanging on the pulpit. There's actually quite a lot I want to say this morning. And I need to preach a message. So I'm going to preach, and I'm going to do announcements, and I'm going to talk to you, church. We're a church. I think we need to come away from this that we come in and we sing and we get preached to and we go home. We need to interact as a body. That is why I encouraged you earlier on, and I want to encourage you going forward during the worship, particularly the worship portion of the praise and worship, even during the praise. If you feel you want to come and give something to the Lord, this altar is open. It's here to be used. It's here to experience God's presence and to encounter Jesus. And whether you come and you spend time on your own here or people come and pray with you, we need to be free to use the altar. God wants to touch His people. That is the one thing I wanted to speak to. Conrad did an announcement about workers, and we've done a number of announcements about workers, and really, I cannot really think of once, and it's almost 11 months since Shula and I took over. I cannot think of once that somebody has come to us and said, we'd like to get involved in this or that ministry. Now that's quite scary, isn't it? And I think the problem is this, and we've spoken about it. People like to be approached and asked, will you do something? Will you do something? But to be quite honest with you, I might come to you, and yes, I should have discernment, and I've got the Holy Spirit in me, but I might come to you and say, gee, Yvonne, I think you would be great on the platform here. And because you don't want to offend me, she shook her head, but it doesn't fit, okay? So I might come and put you in the wrong place. But God may have been speaking to you week after week after week after week and saying to you, I want you in the children's church. I want you on the platform. I want you greeting in the mornings. Oh, you know how to use a computer. Why don't you help with the words? Or I can use you on the soundboard. In church, we really do need people to volunteer. So yes, I'm going to approach some of you. I'm going to ask the Lord to show me and I'm going to approach some of you. I'll tell you, we've got quite a big need that has arisen. And I believe it's come out of us, some of us working and some of us not working and leaving all the work to a few. Glenn and Lindsay are way overloaded. They're in the children's church now, but Glenn and Lindsay, they do children's church. He lectures in the Bible school. She helps us with the Bible school finances. He loads the daily encouragements that goes out. He leads the prayers and worship in the prayer meeting on a Friday night. He leads a cell. He preaches sometimes. Clearly, and I think I'm sure I've missed one or two things as well. Oh yes, he heads up our evangelism team. There's too much on his plate. And it's hit him hard because he's taking pressure at work as well. And I think there's a couple of people in the church that are overloaded. And it's not going to change unless you and I step up and volunteer. So I want to start with the children's church. And I've got some ideas. We spoke to Glenn and Lindsay about it a long time ago. I haven't spoken to them recently about it. But I think at this stage, because the church isn't as big as we'd like it to be. But the children's church is doing well. They can have 20, 30 children there on a Sunday morning. I want us to share the burden there. So I'm looking for 4 or 5 teams of people that will alternate in leading the children's church for a period of time. We've got lots of teachers in the church, Yvonne. Sorry. Honoria. Sorry. Who else? We've got lots of teachers in the church. So you are well equipped to be able to work in the children's church. She, I don't even think I want to say that. She's been asking me for ages that she'd go and work in the children's church. And I said, no, I want you with me. And she really does need to be with me. But I'll make the sacrifice. In fact, I'll go and teach in the children's church. We've done that. I loved it. So if you'd like to do that, I'm going to ask you to come and speak to me. Alternately, I'm going to come and speak to you. I want to speak to you about the prayer meetings. On Friday night, our prayer meeting was really, really small. The youth, sadly, your youth is showing you up church because they come to the prayer meeting, but then at 7 o'clock, they leave and come because the youth meeting starts at 7 o'clock. We really need to pray, church. And once again, the many are leaving it to the few. And I don't think it's feasible. Yes, you may pray at home. Yes, you may have your quiet time. And yes, you may intercede. But there's a place for corporate prayer. I was thinking about it this morning. There were three of us in the prayer meeting this morning. And another person came just as it was ending. But we've been asking for quite a while. And I want to personally ask you, how about getting here a bit earlier? 8:15 on a Sunday morning. It's not that difficult. I could call you by name. I could ask you by name. But I don't want to do that because I don't want to embarrass you. I want to ask you to get a heart for prayer. Corporate prayer is important. And then we need to learn to pray together. We need to, you know, when you hear what somebody else is praying, then you can agree with them. And when two or three agree on anything, when two or three are together, the Lord's presence, but where two of us agree about something, then God will move. So I want to encourage you. And I know some of you are already sitting and saying, well, I'm not going to do that. You've already made up your mind about it. Okay? I see some of you smiling. It's a grech. Please don't. We have got a promised land, and I'm going to preach about the promised land this morning. We've got a promised land that God has got for us to enter. But I can tell you right now that unless the Israelites together crossed into the promised land, they would not have taken it. We need to cross into this promised land together. You cannot stand on the other bank of the Jordan and watch some of us take the promised land because you won't enter. Does that make sense? Yes, there were tribes that said that they wanted that land on the side of the Jordan where they were. And the condition was this. Only if you send your people to fight with us. Once we've claimed the land, you can have that. Am I right? You cannot. You've got to fight with us. So I want to encourage you in that. I want to encourage you to get involved in the church. I want to encourage you to get involved in the ministries in the church. And I want to encourage you to stop sitting on your bottom and warming a seat. And I'm being very straight with you this morning. If you don't like it, you can come and tell me afterwards. Keith, you are pushing our buttons too hard. But we cannot do this. We're a church, we're a body, we're a family. Amen? Amen. In the household, I'm preaching a message that I haven't prepared. In the household, just think about it. We've all grown up in a household. There's parents and there's children. What do the parents do? The parents do a lot of the work. They earn the income. They manage the household. But they give the children chores to do. If the children don't do their chores, they normally get a good smack. Now, I'm the pastor. I'm not going to come and give you a hiding, okay? The shepherd leads the sheep. He doesn't herd the sheep. Amen? I don't want to have to herd you. But everybody has got a role to play. Somebody's got to make the bed when they get up in the morning. Somebody's got to feed the dog. Somebody's got to go out into the yard and pick up the dog droppings. It's not a lack of job. Amen? Somebody's got to pick up the rubbish outside around the property. Somebody's got to unlock and close the doors. Can't always be Aggie. She also needs a break. Amen. Yeah, let's buy ourselves. Come on, say amen. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning, church? Are you going to do something about it? Yes. Don't say yes. Remember, God's here. No. Okay. Patsy? I want to just thank you for helping us. I can feel the heat from here as the infrared radiates from your face. Okay? You know what? We're a church. We're here to have fun. We're here to be a family. We're here to be serious with God. Over the last while, I really am not on my message, but it's okay. I asked the Lord to show me what to speak about. Over the last while, more than one, how do I put this in a nice way? Pensioner. I was going to say elderly person. But you might look, the children will look at me and say, but you old dad. has spoken to me. Please, those that have said this to me, don't take offense, all right? I won't mention your name, but you know who you are. He's come to me and said to me, we're done with it. We've been there, we've got the t-shirt, we've done that. We don't want to do that anymore. We're done with that stuff. I want to ask you to have a look around, church. What's the average age in the church? Do we have more pensioners than... Maria, are you a pensioner? I'm just joking. I want to challenge you this morning. And I looked up this, I was wondering why. I looked up the scripture this morning. And I am challenging you, church, as your pastor. I'm just going to have to find it. Jesus said this. Actually, I'm going to read a bit of it. In Luke 9, verse 63 to 62, Jesus said to him, because he'd called somebody. I'm going to read from verse 59. Then he said to another, follow me. But this person replied and said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. That's Jesus calling us to do work. But Lord, I'm so busy with my family. And I've heard this a lot in the church. I'm so busy with my family. My children. You know, I've got to look off. Please don't take offense with me. I'm not picking on the people that visit their children, okay? I'm not. That just came out. I was thinking about somebody else. my children. I've got to look after them first. No, you don't. You need to look after your own spiritual well-being first. You need to bring your children to church. You need to bring your grandchildren to church. Are they going to church? And if they're not, have you challenged them about that? And I didn't plan to say that. It came out. So God is speaking. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. Lord, I will follow you, but I want to do it on my terms. But let me first do this and that. Okay. In verse 62, but Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. That is a hard, hard statement. Amen? And Gordon Kallmeyer said it when he preached here. He said, I didn't say that. God said it. So I want to challenge you, church, and say, have you set your hand to the plow? Our pensioners, have you set your hand to the plow and said, I have served my dues. And now it's time for me to sit back and watch somebody else do it. Am I going to put my hand to the plow and then take it off and look back? And there was something else that came to mind. But some people love to talk about the past, whether it be their worldly past or their spiritual past. We are guilty. We always talk about the days when we were in the youth and there was revival. Kids would come and get born again and filled with the Spirit. And, you know, it was the first time they came. It was fantastic. We keep going back there, keep going back there. And God reminded me this morning, you're looking back. Some of us are looking back to the old worldly things that we did, the things we enjoyed in the world, the things that you know, got us going, the old sinful life. Some of us keep going back to it. You're looking back. You've set your hand to the plow, but you're looking back. Why do we forget? We so quickly talk about those things, but we don't talk about what God did yesterday, what God's doing today, what God wants to do with us tomorrow. We've put our hands to the plow, but we keep looking back. God wants us to put our hands to the plow and start walking. That ox is pulling the plow, but we're looking back. You know how the thing plows when you look back. We're going everywhere. God wants us to walk in that straight line. He wants to direct us. Can I hear an amen? Is this making sense, church? Because I'm really not preaching my message. I'm preaching what the Lord has laid on my heart. God is calling us to a real Christianity. A Christianity that's not all talk and no do. A Christianity that's not dwelling in the past. A Christianity that's an active Christianity, not just a confession of faith. Jesus said, in the book of James, he wrote, you must become doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. Church, we need to become an active church, a doing church. We're not saved by works, but works are the natural outflowing of our salvation. Is that true? Amen. But we need to become that church that is working, the church that is actively involved doing what God has called us to do. Can I see a show of hands? And I don't want you to put up your hand if you don't mean it, because we do this in God's presence. We must not take it lightly. Of those who have been challenged by what I've just said and who want to change the way they're approaching their walk to the Lord. Can I see a show of hands? I see some hands. And I thank you for your honesty. We need to change our approach to how we're serving God. We cannot serve God with religion, with just words. We cannot come to church on a Sunday and be holier than thou and go out into the world and nothing is different and we are making absolutely no impact. God has called us to turn this world upside down. Amen. To turn our families inside out if we have to. And yes, sometimes we're going to step on toes. And yes, sometimes we're going to have to say those hard things like, nobody who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is worthy. That's so hard. Jesus said stuff like that all the time. Are we worthy of the calling? Have we started looking back? The Israelites, that is partially in my message this morning, God took them out of Egypt and into the wilderness. And he took them and he put them right on the doorstep to the promised land. And they complained and whinged. On the way they said, we are so tired of this manna. I shared it with the staff in the week on Wednesday morning. They said, we are so tired of this manna. Think about that. Who would like some of God's manna today? Can I see a show of hands? Manna represents God's anointing, God's provision, God's blessing. They said, we are so tired of it. We want the leeks and the garlic and the food, our pots that we ate in Egypt. Egypt represents the old life, the sinful, the satanic world. Okay, it came out. The satanic world. The old life that is no longer part, but they wanted that. They said, we are tired of the manna. We're tired of God's blessing. We've got so used to it. I'm so old. I've done it, been there, done it, got the teacher. I'm tired of that stuff anymore. Well, then I want to tell you something. If you are looking forward to what you had in Egypt, then you want to go back into captivity. You want to turn your back on Jesus Christ, and you want to go back into your old life of sin, and you want to go and play with those old things. Who wants to do that? None of us. But it happens that we get used to the things of God. We get used to coming to church. We get used to prayer meetings. We get used to the move of the Spirit. God moves in our lives all the time. We get used to it. Let me say, I want something that's a bit more exciting. And the only things that are more exciting are the things that have the devil's been lying to us. It's the sweetness of sin. You know, candy-coated sin. He tells us, oh, it's so good. But it will lead to death. Amen? It will lead to eternity in the pit of hell. That's not where you and I belong. We belong in heaven with Jesus Christ. Are you still with me, church? Amen. They desired the pots of Egypt instead of the beautiful, pure, and wonderful manna from heaven. Have we become like that? I'm challenging you this morning. Is this tough? Okay. Have we become like that? When I was on holiday, you know, I stayed an extra week because I wanted to seek the Lord's face. And I went to church. So I dropped Cheryl off at the airport and I went to church. And I stood there and I love going to Mark's church. It's very similar to this church. Praise and worship is great. And I stood there and the praise and worship just became a noise. I was singing and I just realized, you just sing. There's nothing here. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And right there, I stopped singing and started focusing on the Lord. And the Lord spent that week dealing with my heart. Issues of the heart. The challenges of the heart. How do I possess the land if my heart isn't right? Am I really just being religious? And church, I think we have got a bit religious. I think we started serving the Lord on our own terms. We've got so used to doing stuff in the church. Even our youngsters. I mean, you guys have grown up in the church. I mean, so even the youngest of, how old are you, Shanae? 19. Even now, the young ones are. For 19 years, she served the Lord. Sometimes we get used to it. Hey, we get used to it. And it loses its the fire, the power, the presence of God. We get it just becomes an ordinary, common thing. And the things of God are not common. The things of God are not common. I was reading about the leaders, it was the Levites. Aaron and his sons and Moses, God anointed them to lead the services. But the rest of the Levite priests came and they had these censers. And they stood up, they said, you know what, you two aren't the only two. Are you still with me? They said to Moses and Aaron, you two aren't the only two that God can use. He can use us too. We've also got censers. Right? And God said, okay, Moses, you tell them to come. Put smoke in the censers, come to me tomorrow, they'll stand in my presence. And God struck them. He sorted them all out. He burned them with fire. He said, now go and take those censers. Because they've been in the holy place. Because they've been in my presence, those things have become holy. Go and take them, beat them flat. And what did he say, put them over? He said, put them over something. I can't remember. Beat them flat and sheet. I think they had to sheet the altar with it. Those things have become holy. And what I'm trying to say to you with this is, when we come into the Lord's presence, He makes us, we come into His holy presence. When we get born again, He makes us holy. We cannot allow common stuff to be part of our lives anymore. We sometimes need to be beaten flat and lay ourselves on the altar so that holiness can come back in. Can you see the trend of what I'm saying? We need to come out of the ordinary. We need to come out of taking God for granted, His presence for granted. We can need to come away from saying all the right things and being in church to being the living, live, holy, powerful, spirit-filled people God wants us to be. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to quickly go up there and look at some of the word that I have. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I don't know what you're going to do on Sunday morning. And really, I felt very strange this morning. Sure, I'll tell you, I was in a strange frame of mind this morning. Because I said, Lord, what are you going to do this morning? What are you going to do in the church? You see, all of these things that I've just been speaking about, our involvement in the church, our attitude towards the spiritual things, treating them common as opposed to treating them as holy, getting tired of the manna and wanting the things from Egypt. It's got to do with the condition of our heart. It's issues of the heart. And that's what God was dealing with me. And actually, even before we went away, remember I preached the one Sunday about the heart of God. And the next time I was going to preach about the heart of man. These are all issues of the heart. Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart above all else. For out of it flow the issues of life. I want to challenge you, church, and say, the outcome of our lives, whether we go to heaven or hell, will be determined by the state of our heart. That's why we need to guard our hearts. For me to be successful in my walk with God, for me to be a successful pastor, I need to guard my heart. For you to walk before the Lord correctly, you need to guard your heart. For you to go to heaven one day, should the Lord come to fetch us, or should we die? We need to have a right heart. Are you still with me? So the attitude of our heart is so important. And if we are going to enter the promised land that God has got for this church, our hearts need to be right. And I'm going to speak to you very briefly about our promised land. What is our promised land? What is the promised land God has given this church? I thought about it. I wrote it down. God has given us a couple of promises. The old one. The old one is the latter will be greater than the former. We know that this was a hugely successful church. God has promised us the latter will be greater than the former. But he's also said some other things. When this building was chosen, when this property was chosen, he said, this is the place on which I've chosen to place my name. And I will receive glory from that place. I'll read you the script. Nehemiah 1 verse 9. But if you return to me and obey my commands and live by them, then even if you are exiled into the ends of the earth, I will bring you back to the place I've chosen for my name to be honored. God has not only chosen to put his name here, but he's chosen for his name to be honored here. And then last year when we did the Shine conference, this was a promise I believe God gave us. Isaiah 60:22. The smallest family will become 1,000 people. The tiniest group will become a mighty nation. At the right time, I, the Lord, will make it happen. And this is a promise of exponential growth. Church, if we look around, we can see it hasn't happened. Yes, we've had some growth. We've got some attendance issues, but we have had some growth. Okay? God has been building the church. And I keep having to remind myself, it's not necessarily going to happen overnight. But we should be seeing more growth. We should be expecting it to happen. That's part of our promised land. And then the other scripture, the scripture out of Acts 18, I have a people in the city. That's another promise God has given this church. He has a people in the city. Yesterday, a group of people went out again from here, and again, people were born again in the city. Isn't that amazing? Can we give the Lord praise for that? And we pray that the change will come, that the people that are getting born again will start appearing in the church. Because I can tell you that by this stage, we've already led probably 40 people to the Lord in the four times we've gone out. In about an average of 40 people. That's half the size of this congregation, but they're not yet. Amen. So we need to change that. So we've got a promised land. What about as individuals? What's your promised land? Your promised land might be health. Your promised land might be being successful in your career. Your promised land might be having a tight and a happy family unit. You might have a number of things that are your dream. God said in Jeremiah 29:11, I've got plans for you. He wants to take us into a promised land. What will hold us out of the promised land? Some of the things that will hold us out of the promised land are the things we've just spoken about, that I've just spoken about. But if you go and read in Joshua or in Numbers, it tells a story about these Israelites on the verge of the promised land. And the spies went in. God said to them, go and check out the land. So they went to check out the land. God didn't say to them, go and see what you're going to miss out on. He said, go and check out the land I am giving to you. Let me just go and find the scripture so you can look it down for those of you that have got notes. Numbers chapter 13. You can just go and read the whole of Numbers chapter 13. He said them this, go to the north in the Negev into the hill country. See what the land is like and find out whether the people living there are strong or weak, few or many. See what kind of land they live in. Is it good or bad? Do the towns have walls? Are they unprotected like open camps? Is the soil fertile or poor? Are there many trees? Do your best to bring back samples of the crops. You see, it happened to be the season for harvesting the first ripe grapes. Did you notice God's words? Send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land I'm giving to the Israelites. Did he say anything else? He said, I'm giving this land to you. They came back, and they knew it was a good land. They came back with a good report, but they said, there are giants there, and there's these people. You know what they did? When they got afraid, they started saying, all the people there are massive. But all the people, they weren't massive. There was a city with Anakites. There was a city with giants. The other people were normal people. They started saying they're all big. We are like grasshoppers in their sight, and they see us like grasshoppers. They see us like grasshoppers. Doesn't that talk to you about a hard attitude? An attitude of fear instead of faith? And I want to challenge you this morning and say, have we maybe come with fear? What happens if I go and walk on the streets and try and lead people to the Lord and people reject me? Or what is it safe? What happens if I come to church on a Sunday night? Will I be safe? What happens if I step out and speak to somebody about the Lord? Will they bite my head off? Is that an attitude, a correct heart attitude? No. Because God said, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. He said to the Israelites, go and check out the land I'm giving to you. Nobody ever said it would be easy. They reported, we entered the land you sent us to explore. It is indeed a beautiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. And they showed that big bunch of grapes that took two men to carry. But the people living there are powerful. Their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. There's nothing wrong with that statement. Do you know that? There's nothing wrong with that statement. The land is a good land. But then they revealed their heart, because they carried on to say, in Numbers 13, verse 32-33, but Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Let's go at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. That is a heart of faith. But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour. They just said it's a land flowing with milk and honey. Now they say the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw there were huge. No, just the Anakites. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. They decided that's what the Anakites thought. Do you know what the Anakites thought? Let me show you what the Anakites thought. Here's the truth. Numbers 14, Moses speaking to God. Numbers 14:14. Now if God was so cross, he wanted to destroy them. Moses says to God, now if you destroy them, the Egyptians will send a report to the inhabitants of this land. Listen what the inhabitants of that land, the inhabitants of the land of milk and honey knew. Who have already heard that you live among your people? They know, Lord, that you have appeared to your people face to face and that your pillar of cloud hovers above them. They know that you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. They didn't think that the Israelites were small and like graspers. They knew about God. They knew that the Israelites had a God that went before them. They were trembling. They were afraid. But because of the wrong attitude of heart, those who had fear in their heart spread a lying report. And so what happened? They never entered the promised land. And I'm not going to go much further. I'm going to just tell you this, even though it's in my notes. Do you know what happened to those spies? Two of them entered the promised land. Who can remember what happened to the other 10? Can anybody tell me? I want to see if you know your Bible. Can anybody tell me what happened to the other 10? They died. When? When? Do you know when they died? They died almost immediately. God sent a plague amongst them and they were killed. They didn't even live longer. They didn't even live in the wilderness anymore. God killed them there and then. Do you know that? I only realized it when I read it. I thought, yeah, they died with the rest of their people in the wilderness. No, they didn't. God killed them there. Only Joshua and Caleb survived. And that was because, number one is, they had a heart of fear instead of a heart of faith. They also had a heart of disbelief instead of a heart of belief. And that is what I want to challenge us about this morning, church. Getting involved in the church. Getting involved in claiming the promise. And I know that I've preached a little bit here and there because I went away from my notes. But getting involved in claiming the promised land, it is going to take faith and it's going to take believing in God. We cannot come with hearts of fear and hearts of unbelief. So now let me give you an example of how that could work in this church. God has given us a promised land. I call this event or that event. We plan it. And you start saying, do you know what? He's tiring us out. And I've started thinking that way. I'm thinking, I'm over-pressurizing the congregation. I'm expecting too much of them. I'm expecting them to go and walk on the streets. I'm expecting them to come to prayer meeting. I'm expecting them to come to this conference, to be at church in the week. I'm expecting them to fast. And the people start grumbling. and say, no, no, no. But God has been leading me to do that. Do you understand what I'm saying? We've got a choice. If we choose wrong, we start grumbling. We start responding in lack of faith. We start responding in fear. I don't think I can do it. I don't think God can use me. I don't think I've got... I think I'm too old to do that stuff still. You understand what I'm saying? I'm challenging you this morning. We remain in the wilderness. But God says the promised land is right there. When God spoke judgment out over the Israelites, He said, you will not enter. You know what happened? The Israelites the next day got up and said, we're going to the top of the hill, we're going to take the promised land. But by then it was too late. God said, you're not going to do that. They said, we're going to go anyway. You know what happened? As they went, the Amalekites and the people living in the hill country chased them away with their tails between their legs. Why? Because now they were doing it in their own strength, not in God's anointing. He was not going to allow it to happen. All of those people, the ones that didn't get killed, they ended up dying in the desert. Except for the youngsters that were less than 20 years old. Youngsters that were less than 20 years old and the two spies, Joshua and Caleb. They were the only ones that didn't die. And they crossed over into the promised land. So church, my challenge to you this morning is, are we going to bury everybody and put them in the wall, yeah, in the church? Sorry, but I'm being very direct. And we're going to be like this forever? A church that is struggling to survive? We have seen sparks. We've seen little bursts of anointing coming. God has been moving. I can tell you that now. He has been moving. But are we going to struggle and keep on murmuring and complaining and not trusting God? Or are we going to have a heart of faith? A heart that believes in God? We know what He's already done. The Israelites had seen Him open the Red Sea. They'd gone through. They'd seen Him feed them in the desert. They'd even seen Him giving them that manna that they so began to despise. Are we going to despise what God has done? Or are we going to take that as the basis for our leap into the promised land? And stand up in faith. And start walking in faith. And start trusting God. And are we going to get involved and claim the promised land God has given to us? What will we do? Does that make sense to you? Has it sunk in this morning, church? And I've just spoken from my heart. I haven't stuck with my notes. But that's okay, because I believe I've said what I needed to say. Now I want to say something else. God is in our midst. God has been anointing. God has been healing people. God has been touching people. I know that. I'm your pastor. I speak to you. God, there's a number of people where we've prayed for people and things have come right. Their bodies have been healed. Just in this week, we prayed for Larry. He went in for the colonoscopy. No cancer. Praise God for that. Praise God for that. On Saturday mornings, I cycled with the club. We were on the Fentersdorp Road yesterday morning. Every time before we go out, I pray. I say, Lord, please protect us. Help us not to get punctures. Help us not to fall. Help us not to have accidents. Sometimes we get a puncture. Sometimes we... Yesterday morning, we were going on the Fentersdorp Road. There was a truck coming from the other side, and a car decided we wanted to overtake the truck. There was a youngster riding with us. We were going quite fast. We were doing about 35 k's an hour. To give you an example, how fast 35 k's an hour is, that is the terminal velocity for a car. If you get run over by a car doing 35 k's an hour, you die. Okay, if it's going slower than that, you might just get off with bad injuries. But at 35 k's an hour, you die. So we were doing about 35 k's an hour, riding single file, and this car came to our side of the road and started coming. The youngster with us panicked, and he went off the side of the road, but there was a bit of a drop, so his bicycle fell into the road. Five of us fell. The truck's coming. I don't know what happened to the car. Not one of us had a serious injury. That's God. That's God. I was telling Cheryl in the car this morning, it's like a blur. I fell, I got up, I ran, and I fetched my bicycle out of the road because the truck was coming. It was on that side of the road. I picked up my bicycle, I put it down in the felt. I went and fetched my water. I don't know why I fetched my water bottles. I went to see the two guys that were most badly hurt. God kept us safe. That, I believe, is God and God alone. It could have been so much worse. On the way on holiday, same thing. People overtaking on our side of the road. Cheryl and I are driving at the coast. We had to actually move off. The guy came on our side of the road and flashed. He had nowhere to go. God looks after us all the time. Now, I spoke to you about the manna. We despise the manna. That is the manna. Every single day, God is working in our lives. He's healing people. He's providing for us. He's even people that are out of work. Somehow or another, they're not going hungry. God is working with us all the time. But we get tired of it. And we start saying, you know, when I was not born again, I used to jolt. I used to have such fun. No. You were living in death. If you died, you would have gone to hell. You've got a great future. You've got so much to look forward to. God's got something for you today. He's got something for you tomorrow. He's got something for you next week. And I want to encourage you, church. Let's not live in the past. Let's not take our hands off the plow and look back. Let's not say, I've done my bit. Let's say, I am going to look forward. I'm going to walk with faith. I'm going to walk with believing in God. And I'm going to have the right heart attitude so that I can possess the promised land God has given for me. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Let's stand, church. I just feel at this stage that, and I'm not going to hand around the microphone. I want us just to spend a time of prayer. Josh, if I can ask the worship team come forward. I want you guys to do something really worshipful that everybody knows. as they're getting ready, I want us to close our eyes and just drop our heads. Just spend a moment thinking, is my heart attitude right? Is there something going on in my heart attitude that is going to disqualify me from entering the promised land? Have I been saying no to God? Have I been expecting other people to do what I'm supposed to do? Have I been expecting other people to walk in the anointing that God has got for my life? Do I need to repent? As we just meditate on these things, just don't even start singing, Josh, just play. Just as we meditate on those things for a moment, let God speak to your heart. Let the Holy Spirit move. Help us, Lord.